best in a dog-free home.
This is Dylan Krause, Market President with Security State Bank. Our clients are the key to our success, and we want to say thank you. Join us at Security State Bank for Customer Appreciation Day, Friday, September 26th, from 11 to 2 at 2070 Coffeen Avenue. Enjoy a free lunch, sign up for great drawings and giveaways, and bring the family for some carnival fun. Thank you for trusting us to be part of your journey. We look forward to celebrating with you on September 26th.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, September 17th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan Police Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, Captain. Welcome back.
Morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure having you in here. How have things been in the city and down at the department?
Things are great. City's making a lot of progress. I've looked in, this week, portions of South Sheridan and some parallel streets have been resurfaced. Lots of great things going on with the city in general and department. We've got two fantastic new officers, Hunter Pope and Bailey Moss in field training, and we've got an officer candidate in backgrounds, and we have a bunch of candidates testing this week, Thursday. So we are moving along all at the same time, fulfilling our mission of keeping the peace in Sheridan.
You know, Pope, that name out of Buffalo. I know a lot of Popes over there.
Let's just say he's got very strong ties to law enforcement there.
Yeah, there we
his
go.
His grandfather
yeah.
was the sheriff.
Yep, exactly. They are part of the Kozacek yep. law enforcement yep.
Great
legacy
family.
Over
Great
there.
Great family.
Great family. Great group of people. And yes, a long line of good integral law enforcement. Now, Sheridan PD has long emphasized preventing impaired driving. Sir, let's talk about this critical focus on the department. You've described DWIs as the biggest everyday threat to the community. Can you explain what that means in practical terms?
Sure. Sheridan's a fantastic community. We have a low crime rate. We have a low violent crime rate, which doesn't mean it's at zero. So we focus on data, as Chief Kaltiska has discussed many times before. We're data-driven, meaning that's where we, by analyzing data, it allows us to use our resources most effectively. Mm-hmm. We're not wasting the taxpayer money by having officers patrol some side street with no traffic. So in looking at the data, the most violent thing that we feel that our community is most likely or has the greatest potential to be affected by is a DUI accident or yeah. crash. There's no such thing as an accident. They're crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where someone makes the decision while impaired to drive.
Is it at the point where you think there's probably drunk driving going on daily out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Obviously, Friday and Saturday nights during the later hours when the establishments are closing, and this isn't a commentary on the establishments. They do a great job in trying to mitigate it. They're great partners. But yeah, obviously, Friday and Saturday nights, early Sunday morning is when we would expect people to drive while impaired the most. But also a DUI at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning really doesn't raise our eyebrows either.
Yeah.
It can happen anytime.
Now, what is the ultimate goal of your prevention efforts? Because you and I have talked multiple times about it's not about arrests.
No, and in fact, I heard a fairly ridiculous comment by a politician from another state saying that the police's role is not to prevent crime. It's which, if you remember the Apelian principles we talked about, that absolute police efficiency is the absence of crime.
Yeah,
we would much rather be out there having a presence and act as just a reminder to people that we're out there. Don't drive drunk or don't commit any crime. Mm-hmm. And we just want to deter crime. We take no pleasure in arresting people. Yeah. We would much rather just have a safe community and have everyone enjoy themselves here. It's a wonderful place to live. We all love living here and people should enjoy it, but we just want them to do so safely. People should go downtown and people should go to all our establishments. They're fantastic places, but go there and enjoy oneself responsibly.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you 100% on that. When it comes to individuals standing up before the powers that be, whether that be a council or a commission, so many times, and you know, looking back on the things that I've covered, individuals are saying, oh, well, I got this many arrests, so that means we're really out there doing something. But that means there's a lot of crime in the city.
Yes. And I mean, that's the purpose between high visibility enforcement. Mm-hmm. We want to enforce the law by reminding people we're there and just to so they remember the laws, such as don't speed, don't display dangerous driving behaviors, whether it's texting or driving while impaired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was an old saying in the Army, locks keep honest people honest.
Yes.
And I know you remember that just as much, because I remember thinking, well, why put a lock on that if it's behind a gate and the only people going back there are soldiers?
Yes, it removes all temptation.
Absolutely. And if you come out, maybe you're looking to drive, you see an officer patrolling the area. Well, it's not a good day to drive drunk.
Yeah, people think that, especially during the obvious hours, the late night hours, that our officers are downtown that they harass people and catch people, when in fact our primary goal is just to remind people.
Call a cab, something. Now, when we look at community involvement, citizens or residents here in Sheridan really dislike DWIs as well. That's why you gave them the Ready reports.
Yes.
This is a big deal. It helps officers in enforce this impaired driving. How important are those Ready reports to the SPD?
Well, they're vital, and I'd like to, you know, it's the caveat that we're not here enforcing our opinions. Mm-hmm. We're here enforcing the community standards. So year to date for 2025, 24 of the arrests that we've made for DUI have been as a report of a concerned citizen calling in erratic driving. And that's out of 97 DUI arrests year to date. So fully well over a quarter.
Yeah.
Have been a result of concerned citizens. Much like in our handling of anything and our priorities, they're community standards. It's not something that Chief Koltisk and I decide we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
The feedback we get is the community is, in many ways, through surveys we've composed, through everyday conversations, and through this data here. It's like people are calling in 25% of our arrests for us,
mm-hmm.
which is really helpful, especially as we're given our, we can't be everywhere at once.
Yeah.
Where we know, or we strongly suspect people might be tempted to drive while impaired, here's a community helping us out.
Would you say that law enforcement is a community effort?
Yes. If you think, if you're, the analogy I always have, as much as I, people may not know what I'm talking about, that Texas A&M has a 12th man, which is their crowd. Mm-hmm. It's their student section.
Mm-hmm.
And the community's our extra guy.
Yeah.
They're our extra unit on patrol, whether it's DUIs or just calling in anything and letting us know or asking us questions and, most importantly, holding us accountable.
Yes.
So we couldn't do this without the community's help.
Now, when it comes to a ready report, will you just briefly kind of break that down for us? How would an individual make one of those?
Well, they can call 911. It's just 911. They don't have to say, I'm making a ready report. Mm. They see something of concern and they report it and an officer will respond. Now, we can't arrest on hearsay. So just because you call me in driving erratically doesn't mean an officer is just going to stop me and arrest me. We have to have what's called driving. The officer has to either observe driving, or we've got very good witness statements from someone that wants to be what we call a known reporting party. Mm. We have to have someone. We have to have a witness.
Yeah.
So we have to have the nexus connecting the person in the seat to bad driving. But we just don't stop and arrest people. We observe the driving. Oftentimes we stop the people and everything's fine.
Yeah.
If the officer has reasonable suspicion, then they will make this a stop and determine whether or not the driver would is willing to participate in field sobriety tests.
These ready reports can be made anonymously.
Yes. Yes, the difference is if it's just an anonymous report, then we don't have a witness. And the officer, if they don't see any impaired driving, any erratic driving, then they won't make the stop.
Yeah. But if they're alerted to an area, hey, I think something's going on over here.
Yeah.
You're going to send an officer yes. over there to check it out.
Yes.
And they will perform their yeah. trained investigations.
Yes, they will check it out and take appropriate action. And oftentimes we can't get somewhere in time as well. It just depends where everyone is at the time of call.
Now, looking at 2025 so far, how have DWUI enforcement efforts gone compared to previous years?
Actually, over the last couple of years, we've been on a downward trend, which makes us extremely happy. Like I said earlier, year to date, which would actually be through the end of August. We've made 97 DUI arrests, and that's down 14% from that year-to-date average of 113.
Wow.
For 2022, 23 and 24. So it's a downward trend for the numbers. That what's been consistent for probably easily the last 10 years, the average blood alcohol concentration is 0.16.
Double.
That's double the limit. So our officers are not out there cherry picking the 0.08s, mm-hmm. trying to invent reasons to stop people. We are stopping and arresting people at double the legal limit.
I mean, that's pretty drunk.
Yeah. It's really impaired. Years ago, former host here, Rustin Bird, went through what we call a wet lab, to where we would have him consume alcohol at a very precise rate on a schedule. And even at a 0.08, he was really feeling it at 1.6.
Yeah.
It was, it puts things in perspective.
Absolutely it does. I mean, 0.16, double the legal limit, you're barely able to walk at that point.
Yeah.
Let alone get behind the wheel of a car. Now, controlled substances are also part of this issue. Can you talk about how often you're finding drugs to be a factor in these arrests?
Yeah. If alcohol is involved, then we will not test for drugs because it's a waste of resources. And but 11% of all DUI arrests involve drugs as well. So it could be that combination of alcohol and drugs or drugs alone. People drive having consumed too much prescription medication or just simply prescription medication that in which they've been warned not to drive after consuming. It's a label on the bottle, or also fairly common in that 11% is marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this that combination of alcohol and controlled substances can be very dangerous as well.
You know, I think a lot of people think that they're probably more capable than we actually are as a species. If it says no driving and you're on medication,
yeah,
don't drive.
Yeah, medications will also say do not mix with alcohol, which people do.
Yeah,
it's a bad combination, and oftentimes it's just not prescribed medication. It's been obtained illicitly.
So it's not exactly their medication.
Yes.
Statewide data shows a significant portions of arrests involve repeating offenders. How big of a concern is that locally?
It's the same. The Sheridan generally follows state trends. 25% of all statewide DUI arrests are repeat offenders, which is concerning. I mean, the goal of the criminal justice system is rehabilitation. That's why people go to court, is so a judge can determine what the best course of action is to help this person. And here we have people, 25% of all arrests being a second offense or higher.
It's an expensive offense.
Yep.
Even more expensive the second time around. I know you remember when Wyoming was extremely lenient on this citation and these offenses.
When I was, in 2000, we had no open container law.
Yeah.
You could drive with an open container.
That's incredible.
It is. It's, the city's always had an ordinance against it, but if you're driving anywhere outside city limits, you could have an open beer while you're on your travels.
Do you remember when that changed?
Early
2000s.
Very early 2000s, yes. I can't remember the exact year.
I mean, Wyoming has always tended to kind of, traditionally been very lenient on alcohol.
Yes.
Offenses. Do you feel that that's really started to turn around?
I do. I think our laws are not super extreme, which is a good thing. I mean, you have to recognize that the your average person from Wyoming likes their independence, as we do, as people, as individual people. But I think the state with the alcohol laws has struck a good balance, in keeping everyone else safe and not really impeding on. I mean, I would hope that people would feel that they have the right not to be hit by a drunk driver.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we know that's how people feel. But I think the state with the DUI statutes has hit a good balance. It's tough. Oftentimes a goal line's moving as new controlled substances come up.
Yeah.
So I think they do a great job.
On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with our Sheridan Police Department captain. When we come back, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
So I was recently informed and corrected that a semicolon is not the small intestine. And the same goes for you tuning up or fixing your own 4x4 side-by-side to get it ready for hunting, firewooding, or snow plowing. Because trying that yourself is like doing your own aspendectomy. Messy, painful, and not something you walk away bragging about. That's why you need the specialist at Hando Service Center. So skip the home remedies, get your rig in for a full checkup at Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating has been serving Sheridan since 2010. With all these years of experience, you can rely on them to handle all of your plumbing and heating needs. From new construction to remodels, repairs of existing systems to retrofitting, Rapp Plumbing and Heating can do it all. They are professional, clean, and courteous. Call 429-1196 for all your plumbing or heating needs. As we like to say, if you find a leak, let Dan take a peek.
Back in the days when Sheridan was a frontier town, folks gathered where good food, strong spirits, and fine company met. That spirit lives on at Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Step through our doors on Main Street and you'll find more than a meal. You'll find a taste of Western history, crafted with care and served with the warmth of true Wyoming hospitality. Whether you're raising a glass or savoring a plate, every moment is where history meets unforgettable flavor. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop-A-Miniums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, these Shop-A-Miniums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shop-A-Miniums and invest smart.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Captain Tom Ringley. This morning, we're speaking on DWUIs within the city of Sheridan. Captain, before we go any farther, you and I were having a conversation pertaining to age. I'm really enthusiastic about the younger generation's outlook on alcohol. From what I've seen, which is limited, but I do have a daughter who's just hit her 21st birthday. She has a great outlook on the substance itself. What have you seen down there at the department when it comes to age and how we deal with it?
I just don't think that young people are consuming as much alcohol as they did back in our day. And I know this through the lack of the amount of house parties we go to. Mm-hmm. It used to be nothing to go to a house party with 20 or 30 people there underage, and those just aren't happening anymore. And they're happening once or twice a year, probably throughout the county, mm-hmm. city and county. And also every morning, the first thing I do every morning is I prepare our media release that we post on our department website, where one can find all of our crime statistics. And this seems the average age of the people arrested for DUIs has gone up. It's used to be very rare to see someone in their 70s. But now it seems like the majority are 50, 60, or 70. So that left end of the bell curve is moving to the right age-wise, and not as many 20, 21, to even 30-year-olds. They're still there, but it seems like the proportion has shifted to the right.
That's interesting to really look at.
Yeah, I just think alcohol doesn't hold the same allure that it used to.
Yeah.
And I think that's through a lot of the public education efforts. And also, I don't think young people, especially the ones that had to deal with COVID, are as social.
Yeah.
As they used to be. And they may not as many, the proportion of that segment of our population don't tend to socialize as much in groups.
Or when they do in
person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or when they do, it's that online socialization,
yes.
Jumping on video game consoles with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, they'd rather go shoot it up online and play a game with their buddies than head out there to the bar. A lot of clubs are experiencing, drop in membership because of that.
Yeah.
People can kind of find their niche, their group online. And once they do that, they kind of stick with it.
Yeah, that's where they're comfortable.
Yeah. Now, one way to measure impact is by looking at the crashes. As you said, these are not accidents.
Yes.
These are crashes.
Yeah.
When the individual behind the wheel is impaired. Have Sheridan's enforcement prevention efforts actually made a difference in these related crashes from what the data tells us?
Well, year to date, once again, through the end of August, we've had three traffic crashes in which alcohol consumption's been a contributing factor. The average for the previous 3 years has been 9. So it's down by 66%. Granted, we're dealing with a small sample size here. We want to get it to zero, though, because it just takes one incident to ruin lives.
Yeah.
And ultimately, these crashes and these impacts on other people's lives is what we're trying to prevent. And we don't want the impaired drivers to get hurt either.
Absolutely. Now, some people think they're quote unquote safe to drive if they're under that legal limit of 0.08. This is buzzed driving.
Yeah, 0.08 is still impaired driving. It's just that 0.16 average is what we're finding.
That's just inebriated.
Yeah, but 0.08 or 0.16, it's still impaired, and we're not really surprised if we see a 0.3 every once in a while either.
Yeah, but as you know, I remember a big campaign, Captain, this number of years ago. Buzz driving, yes, is drunk driving.
And that is a truth.
Yeah. So individuals out there should know, you know, you go down there and you're like, I'm just going to have maybe one or two. You get behind the wheel of that vehicle, you're still drunk driving.
Yeah. The best thing to do is just to plan ahead and have a safe way to get home. Go out, have a fantastic time, but either make sure you have a ride, a designated driver or a taxi or a walk. We will not arrest people for walking if they're drunk.
Yeah.
It's when they can't care for themselves or they're a danger to others.
Laying in the gutter, not realizing where they're at.
Falling down into winter.
Yeah.
Is something we worry about constantly, is someone succumbing to hypothermia. It's happened.
Oh, absolutely. It's happened. I think we've talked about it on here. I had a friend who worked at a bar who found an individual who had succumbed to that, and it was absolutely devastating. What safer alternatives are there for those in Sheridan to get a ride home?
Once again, the designated driver, free rides home. Ask the bartenders for to arrange a free ride home through the taxi services. But I would just have it plan ahead of time, have the money for a cab, know how much what the cab fares are, or just have a safe way to get it. It's all planning ahead. It takes a lot of the pressure off and will probably allow someone to enjoy the night even more without having to worry about getting home.
And that's one thing that I'm glad you just touched on. You have a way home. You know you're going to get home safe. You can have more fun.
Yeah, that pressure's off.
You don't have to worry about that. Beyond enforcement, one of some of the proactive steps that officers and the SPD are taking to try and kind of alleviate this issue.
Besides a high visibility enforcement, actually another form of that is bar checks. Officers walk through the bars. We have a great relationship with the bars. And it's, you know, there are several reasons for these bar walkthroughs. One is to make sure that bar staff is okay. Two is to check for underage drinkers. And we're not discarding people willingly. It's the people that appear to be underage. And three is just to let everyone know that, yes, there are police in Sheridan and we're out working, and think twice before you drink and drive.
Absolutely. Now, tips training, another fantastic prevention tool, per city ordinance.
Yes.
I believe everybody who serves alcohol in the city has to take this training. You and I have talked about this training multiple times. You really feel it's making a difference?
I think it is. I like I said, that we couldn't. I think the serving establishments should get a lot of the credit for our drop in numbers. They are not over-serving. And it's easy. We completely understand a bartender on a Saturday night cannot possibly keep track of everyone.
Yeah.
But they're preventing the 1.6s getting up. You know, they're not serving those people. If they are, it's not through no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. We don't expect perfection. But training is just the training on what impairment actually looks like. What driver's licenses or what forms of ID are acceptable or real. And people can contact Officer John Stallions at the Sheridan Police Department, and he will set up the tips training. Some of it, I think, is online.
I think it's an excellent training. I lived in Oregon for a number of years, and they had something very similar. If you were going to even, you know, open a beer for somebody, then you had to go through this training. And I completely agree. I think this should be implemented statewide. I think it would really help cut down the numbers. And thank you to all the establishments out there who do take this matter very seriously. You know, save your customers. This is a very, alcohol is a drug and it should be treated as such. Sir, I want to thank you for coming in this morning, taking the time to
thank
alert
you.
The public to this very serious matter that I'm glad to see that not just the SPD, but the establishments take
yes,
very
sir.
Seriously.
And
as
we'd
well.
Like to thank the entire community for, you know, the progress that everyone's made during the last year.
All right. On that, when we return, we'll speak with the mayor of the city of Buffalo. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine. You've had great success in adopting some of the more difficult dogs from the dog and cat shelter.
We've adopted close to 23 dogs from the animal shelter. About 85% have gone into service dog work.
And that's made a difference in both their lives and the owners.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah.
So in some way, maybe the ones that people often consider to be difficult have potential that just isn't being correctly tapped into.
Yes, you see that a lot in your high drive dogs, where people don't know how to deal with the energy.
And so it's kind of interesting to match a person with potential who needs a little help.
Well said.
And then an animal with potential that also needs a little help, and they can kind of work together.
That's what you're looking for, where one is needing help in one area, the other is in another, and they meet in the middle. You're looking for how they can help each other in different situations when needed, mm-hmm. because it truly is a team.
If you're struggling with your pet, take the first step on a better path. Contact Shan Foster at countrypetinn.com.
Hey, Sheridan. Greg Hansen here with Pit Crew To You. Right now, you can shop our extensive inventory 24/7 at pitcrewtoyou.com, where you'll find all your favorite brand tires at the guaranteed lowest prices. Michelin, Goodyear, Pirelli, Continental, Bridgestone, Firestone, Falcon, Cooper, Kenda, Yokohama, Hankook, Toyo, and more. We also carry farm tires, semi-tires, ATV tires, and more. From big to small, we have them all. So when you think tires, think Pit Crew To You, 752-9322.
Believe it or not, it's not too early to begin thinking about the upcoming holiday season, and Moss Holders can help you get your home ready for guests. Right now, all dining room and all bedroom furniture at Moss Holders is on sale. Whether you'd like to add seating to your kitchen or dining room, or update a spare bedroom, now's the ideal time, as nearly every single special order will arrive in time for the holidays. Moss Holders has access to hundreds of dining and bedroom sets, so you can find the one that fits your style best. That's Moss Holders Bedroom and Dining Sale, going on now. Moss Holders. Furniture is our passion.
Doug, I took my dog to the dollar store and all I got was a plunger and a squeaky dog toy.
And then you should bring it to Waring Chevrolet starting October 1st. The same dollar gets you a brand new tire.
A whole tire for a buck?
Yep. Buy three, get the fourth for $1 starting October 1st.
That's way better than a plunger.
And it actually helps you down the road, Bob.
Oh, good one, Doug. Waring Chevrolet, online, waringsheridan.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our sake of part this morning, I am joined by the mayor of the city of Buffalo, Mr. Shane Schrader. Good morning, sir. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, morning, Floyd. What's happening up north?
Well, I think it might be just a little bit warmer up here than it is down there. How are things looking outside?
I'm walking around outside, watching the neighbor's dogs. You can hear them in the background.
Now, how is Buffalo as a whole as we approach the fall season, sir?
We are doing great. We're always doing great here, Floyd. You know that. We're good. I brag on my town, but it's worth bragging on. So, no, we're doing good. We're wrapping up a few things, and you know, Public Works is getting a few things finished up before the weather changes, and we're doing good.
I do have a question. Has anyone brought up the yellow airplane that's been buzzing the city for the last couple of days?
Oh, yeah. The one that I thought was crashing the other day?
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
It was So yeah, it's a crop duster, and to my understanding, is they are out spraying some invasive grasses coming in, probably over where the burn areas were and that sort of thing. So they're just getting ahead of that ball game before fall sets in and those little roots take hold. So.
All right, fantastic. That is great to hear, because he was driving me nuts until I heard what they're doing. So they can continue to do that for as long as they need.
Yep.
Because
they're going to get them pesky little leafy critters out of the way. So.
Absolutely. All right. That changes the whole game. Glad to hear that. And I'm glad to see him out there. So, Mayor, you recently proclaimed September 17th through the 24th is Constitution Week. What is your hope for Buffalo during this week?
Well, my hope for that proclamation is that people can go back, read the Constitution, understand the Constitution. And in the world today, maybe it's time to go back to some basics. And that is where the basics start for our country. You know, as Ronald Reagan said, you can go to Turkey, but you can't become Turkish. You can go to Japan, but not become Japanese. But anybody can come to America and become an American. And that's what I'm hoping we get back to, is just back to some basics. Slow down in the world a little bit, take a breath, and get back to what our country was founded on, and that's the Constitution. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there going to be any kind of educational efforts the city supports or anything going on?
Well, you know, if you're in my office, the fireplace right behind my desk, there's a copy of the Constitution that proudly sits there, and I hope everybody hearing this that reads it, that does whatever, just goes back and talk to your neighbor, talk to your friends, talk to your family members and say, let's take a step back in life and let's go back to what we're founded on and rethink where we're headed.
You know, I agree with you 110% on that, sir. I had a family member who was pretty concerned over the state of the union right now, and I told them the best thing that they could do, make their world a little smaller. Put things down. Mm-hmm. Walk across the street and talk to someone, as opposed to send out some sort of message on any social media platform. Make your world smaller. Because when you do that, you realize that you and your neighbor have a lot in common. Switching gears on you.
And that it's okay to disagree and still be friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Switching gears on you, sir. September, Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Can you talk about what motivated that proclamation and how Buffalo has chosen to recognize it?
Well, I wanted to recognize it as mayor and the city as a whole, because there are so many children that suffer from childhood cancers. It's a horrible thing. It's not deserved by anybody, especially small children. And I want to bring awareness so that hopefully those that are affected by it know that we're with you. We're here to support you in any way that we can, and to bring awareness and help. Maybe it's a fundraiser for a family. Maybe it's a class that can pique an interest at a hospital or a school or through a counselor, and pique that interest and get help out there. Be a shoulder to lean on for a family that's going through it. I am going through it myself. My child is 30 years old, but we're going through it, and so it can be a very difficult emotional time for people, and be there to support, and that's it. That's what I wanted to bring, is awareness that this issue is out there, and we need to stand with those that are going through it.
I agree 110%, sir, and no matter how old your child gets, they will always be your child. That's right. My niece went through it from birth up to about 5 years old. I am happy to report that she is a proud mother of two and happily married now. But for a long time, it was very touch and go. So, yes, I think it's a fantastic time to just take a moment, recognize it, and see if there's anything that you can do to help. Now, regarding recent board appointments, I got to thinking about this. What criteria do you like to use when selecting somebody for boards like the Lodging Tax Board or the economic development positions that are down there in Buffalo?
Well, what I look for when I appoint somebody is, first and foremost, their interest in it. I hate to say this, but the political realm today, a lot of people don't want to serve their communities anymore because they have an opinion, they express their opinion, and they get beat up and kicked in the teeth for their opinion. That's wrong. We need to be able to have a difference of opinions, and that's one of the criteria I look for, is somebody that's not going to be a rubber stamp, that's going to sit on a board, voice their opinions, their cares, their concerns. I think they need to have some knowledge of the board that they sit on, whether it's trails or whatever. They need to have some knowledge. They need to have some passion for it. And again, they need to be able to sit at that table and voice those concerns and work with the other members of the board to a middle ground agreement that they can bring forward to the governing bodies. So that's my criteria. You don't have to be overly educated in that topic. You just have to have a passion and a voice and some knowledge in it.
And everyone deserves the right to participate within their own community.
Exactly. There are so many good people that would love to sit on a board, but again, then they kind of get talked down to, kicked in the teeth a little because their opinions vary from somebody else. Again, it's okay to disagree. You can have disagreements, have a cup of coffee afterwards. I don't know in our country if we want everybody to agree on everything. I think we need some political discussion.
We absolutely need discourse. So, I agree 110% on that. Now, what was the concern raised about Bo Fowler's appointment?
Well, the concern, and it's nothing personal by any means, but the concern was is that he is a tenant of the building that he would have been a board member of. So,
okay, so a conflict of interest on that.
Yep.
All right. How does the city like to address potential conflict of interest when things like that come up?
Well, you know, obviously we look at it from a city council, and then if we think that there's a potential, then we run it through the legal department. And, of course, Julie, who's got a mind on her that runs that stuff through on a daily basis. So we kind of run it through them and get their opinions. And if it looks like there's a conflict of interest, so there's a potential of a conflict of interest, we take that all into consideration and then make our decision from that, whether there is or there isn't.
So a lot of discussion, sitting down and deciding, yes, hey, is this conflict going to actually interfere with any kind of judgment call later on down the line?
Yes.
The Buffalo Main Street Project. You've recently got some updates from YDOT. Could you explain where the project is right now, what's been completed, and what remains?
Well, the vast majority of it has blacktop on it, so it's hard surface. You know, the alley behind my house is where they're currently working, so I have to go a couple blocks extra to get around the construction. They're finishing up some infrastructure underneath, and shortly they'll be pouring the remainder of the concrete, and then the state will come in and put the hardtop on. So it's winding down. After two long years, it's winding down, and I'm gloriously happy about that.
And what have business owners said to you? I imagine they're pretty happy it's kind of getting to that point of finished as well.
They are. You know, heart goes out to them. They struggled during this. There's always things that could have been done better on my part and anybody's part, but I think, you know, we move forward and it's all finishing up, and there's a few of the North Main business owners that are still being affected by it. But once it's done, it'll be done, and it'll be better than it was. As you know, Main Street was getting in a little tough condition.
It was getting a little
infrastructure
rough.
And the infrastructure underneath was even rougher. So we're glad it's moving forward. And, you know, I've gotten yelled at by some business owners, and I've been thanked by some business owners so for getting it done.
Now, when it comes to the Public Works Department and their involvement, did they have any challenges at all, or did their portion of this project go pretty smoothly?
Oh, I think they had some challenges. Any $14 million project will have a challenge. There's no doubt about that. You know, you find things you didn't even know were there. You thought things were there that aren't there, you know, from 50, 60 years ago. The infrastructure underneath's been there since the beginning of time, I think, some of it. So they ran into some hiccups, and, you know, hats off to the Public Works Department here in Buffalo. They work through it, and if you know Steve Martinez, the water commissioner, he is always got a smile on his face, and he just dives in and goes to it. And Kevin, our Public Works director, is pretty laid back and just, well, we'll get it done. And they do. They get it done in a timely manner, and they move on to the next project. So, yep, hiccups happen. That's a construction project. If I would be more concerned if there wasn't any hiccups in a construction project, waiting for the next shoe to fall, but
I can
hiccups, some water line issues, some sewer line issues.
Yeah.
That get worked through.
Now, I can remember a project that happened a few years ago, and I can remember Toby was still doing that work there, and they ended up finding a clay pipe that they did not know where it came from or where it was intended to go, and it wasn't on any city maps, and so he had to put a full stop on the project, go in and explore this pipe that I think, if I remember correctly, ultimately didn't lead anywhere. And he wasn't exactly sure why it was ever there, but they took care of it. So I can speak, because I was reporting on the project, I can speak that, yep, when you find something that wasn't on any maps, you got to put full stop and figure out what the heck's going on.
And that's the, you know, one of the positives out of the pus, so to speak, is, you know, all of our new stuff is now GIS mapped. So
fantastic.
You can go on a computer and go click, and the blue line is this, and the red lines are this, and the, you know, we know right where everything is at to the inches, and it's all computer backed up. And so technology is great, and technology is a sin in the same sense. But in this situation, it's a positive that we now have it all marked and located, and we know what's under Main Street from interstate to interstate. So,
and when it comes to the big Main Street project, what is the expected timeline for full completion? And I do realize that, you know, based on weather and things like that, YDOT mm-hmm. may have a bit of a tentative date. What have they told you?
You know, I think we're looking at the end of October. I think they're pretty much on schedule where they're at. Of course, there's going to be punch list items and a fix here and a fix there and a little fluff and a little polish to get everything 100% complete. But I do believe, you know, that October, November, the end of this construction season, we should be well on our way to saying, it's over.
Yeah. How much did the city end up spending on infrastructure during this two-year project?
If you're asking me too much, I don't have the total dollar figures yet. Because, you know, we have to figure in grant monies and mm-hmm. take out grant monies and do this. But, you know, we've spent a small fortune. Don't hold me to this, folks, but I'm going to guess, you know, upwards of $1 million.
Yeah.
Or so.
Well, I'll tell you what, hopefully, you know, it's paid off. We've got new infrastructure underneath there. And as you said before, we've got it mapped. And that is going to pay off big later on down the line. One more question before I let you go, sir. Looking ahead, what are the next big priorities for you, the city council in Buffalo, infrastructure, economic development, public health?
Well, you know, we got some subdivisions that are coming in. We met with new fiber optic cable company last night, you know. We'll start probably talking with them about some franchise agreements and stuff. So we have more internet and fiber optic hopefully coming to Buffalo. You know, we have an election year coming up. We'll see how all that turns out. You know, I can tell you that Burt Street's probably going to be back on the ballot to try and get Burt Street redone, the infrastructure underneath. So we're trying to get infrastructure taken care of. That was one of my priorities when I came into office 6-7 years ago, was let's take a step back, work on the projects that we need to work on, get the stuff done that we need to get done, and you know, the fluff and polish stuff can wait a little bit, but let's make sure the water turns on and the toilets flush.
Absolutely. Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always a pleasure catching up with you, my friend.
It is. Stop by, say hi when you're walking the dogs.
Will do, sir. All right. Okay. You've been listening to Public Pulse, 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Shared.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Kayla Carr with Sheridan Honda. Life moves fast, so should your auto service. Whether you drive a Honda, Jeep, Ford, or any other make, our expert technicians have you covered. We service all makes and models with same-day appointments always available. We offer loaner cars and shuttle service anywhere in Sheridan. Exceptional customer service, all makes and models, same-day appointments. It's not just a dealership. It's Sheridan Honda.
It's lights, camera, action for the 8th Annual YO Film Fest presented by the Standish Family Fund. It all kicks off on Thursday, October 2nd with feature documentary Remaining Native. The Friday night feature is World Without Cows, a film that tells the importance of cattle to Wyoming's people and environment. New this year, bring the kids for Saturday morning cartoons at 9 a.m., a family-friendly block of animated short films with a colorful mix of styles for kids and adults. Pajamas encouraged. Enjoy a cereal bar, breakfast treats, coffee, and Bloody Marys for the grown-ups. Then at 10:30, it's Wake Up with Wyoming, short films made in Wyoming by Wyoming filmmakers or inspired by life in this beautiful state. See the complete lineup and get individual tickets or buy a festival pass. Good for the whole weekend. The 8th Annual YO Film Fest, October 2nd through October 5th. Get your tickets now at yofilmfest.org.
You've heard that legendary voice. Now see him live. Dan Tominski brings his blazing band to the YO Theater Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. The voice behind the Soggy Bottom Boys, lighting up the stage in Sheridan for one night only. Grab your friends, grab your seats, and get ready to holler for more. Dan Tominski, Saturday, September 20th, 7 p.m., YO Theater.
America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5. On News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM. K-R-O-E.